Unsportsmanlike conduct may get one thrown out of the game, but it's a surefire way to boost ratings and sell tickets. Commentator Frank DeFord examines the fallout from one notorious act of unsportsmanlike conduct a decade later.
Shortly after Kobe Bryant's sexual assault case became known, Mark Cuban, the candidly outspoken owner of the Dallas Mavericks, bluntly declared that, from a business perspective, it's great for the NBA. Notoriety sells. The NBA, shocked at such sacrilege, pretended to be horrified and demanded that Cuban stand in the corner and wash his mouth out with soap. Of course, Mr. Cuban was as correct as he was unsettling. Especially in individual sports, villains bring out the same kind of morbid spectator titillation as train wrecks do. This coming Tuesday is, by way of illustration, the 10th anniversary of the battering of Nancy Kerrigan by assailants who were connected to one of her figure skating rivals, Tanya Hardy. Remember? Interest in this assault was so heightened that when Kerrigan, barely recovered, and Harding, unrepentant, skated in the Olympics 7 weeks later, their competition brought out more American viewers than any sports event in history, save for two Super Bowls. Yes, alas, notoriety does sell in sports, as sure if its name was Martha Stewart or Michael Jackson. And even now, it's hard to believe that anybody in sport ever suffered so unfairly as Nancy Kerrigan did a decade ago. Not only did the blow from that metal baton bruise her kneecap and quadriceps tendon, not only did she have to work as hard at rehabilitation as at practice while the whole tabloid world camped at her doorstep, but when she did indeed manage somehow to reach the Lillehammer ice, she skated almost perfectly, only to be denied a gold medal. That was because the unscrupulous figure skating judges divided along the old Cold War lines and voted 5-4 for Oksana Baiul. Unlike last year at Salt Lake City, when some impromptu form of justice was conjured up with duplicate gold medals in the crooked pairs competition, Kerrigan was dismissed, a loser. Even worse, in a way, although Harding was sentenced to 3 years probation on a plea bargain and her cronies were jailed, poor Kerrigan was lumped forever with her assailants. Over time, the assault became, in many people's minds, some sort of comic opera. It's too often remembered as the Harding-Kerrigan affair, Nancy and Tanya linked as if it was some hilarious hijinks they'd been in together like Crosby and Hope or maybe Thelma and Louise. After these 10 years, if there is any consolation to the whole grubby mess, it is, yes, notoriety sells, but it eventually wears on us. Class endures. Tanya Harding has gone on to be acclaimed as the great white trash hope, the star of more lewd and tawdry episodes. Nancy Kerrigan married her manager, a love born in that boiling cauldron of January and February 1994. They have a young son, and occasionally now she puts back on the sequins and skates again in exhibitions where everything is always pretty and the music is forever dreamy. So, Happy New Year.
The comments of Frank DeFord, senior contributing writer at Sports Illustrated. He joins us each Wednesday from member station WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut.